Our first objective is this: Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. So the subtitle for tonight's message is this: sorry is not enough. Sorry is not enough. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Church, sorry is not enough. Jesus rescues men from the danger, harm, and failure caused by sin. And the first thing that we must be rescued from with respect to sin is the guilt of sin. That's the first thing. What do I mean by guilt? Well, guilt has a number of different definitions. When I say guilt, I'm not talking about the feeling of guilt. I'm not talking about that feeling bad for what I have done. Guilt in this context is a judicial determination. It is a judicial determination. It is the debt that I owe because of the wrong I have committed. Guilt is the debt that I owe because of the wrong or the sin that I have committed. See, when we sinned, we became indebted to God. See, sometimes people just think they just sin and it just happens and nothing happens after that. But when we sin, we become indebted to God. For what? For the damage that we have caused. And justice demands that we be held accountable. Sin causes damage. And when we cause damage through our sin, we become indebted to God. And justice demands that we be held accountable. See, now we have learned that sin has horrible after effects in our lives. We have learned that over and over. But whenever we sin, we cause damage not just to ourselves, but we damage others. And not only do we damage others, we damage God's creation. See, our sin and sin in general is far more destructive than we care to admit. And that destructiveness of sin is an offense against God. We need to think about that for a moment. See, whenever we have committed sin, somebody's on the other end of that sin. When we lie, someone was on the receiving end of that lie. When we are hateful and bitter, that means that somebody was abused. When we took something that didn't belong to us, that means that somebody lost something that belonged to them. See, our sin is destructive. When we broke our promise to somebody else, someone was hurt and disappointed. When we were high or strung out, someone was suffering emotionally or mentally because of our actions. When we were selfish and self-centered, that means that somebody was mistreated, somebody was abandoned, or somebody was confused. When we slandered or shared a little bit of gossip, that means somebody's character was torn down or destroyed. See, our sin has terrible after effects, but it also leaves a trail of damage and a trail of pain. And because of that, whenever we sin, we become guilty before God. And justice demands, God's holiness demands that our wrong be dealt with. In other words, we need to be punished. And until we pay the debt that we owe, we can't move forward in life. Yeah. We can't have a new opportunity in life. But here's the problem. We can't both pay the debt and have a new opportunity. Yeah. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. Let's use a hypothetical situation. A man has robbed and murdered. He's robbed and murdered many people. Now he stands before the judge. And he's sincerely remorseful. He's sincere. He's truly repentant. He would do anything to take back his actions. And he stands before a judge and he says to the judge, I just want a second chance. If you will just give me a second chance, I promise you I will make good with my life. Well, you and I both know that it would be ridiculous if the judge let him go. Why? Because his sin, his crime has to be dealt with. You and I know that sorry is not enough. That justice would require that he spend his remaining days in prison. Despite the fact that he was remorseful and it was genuine. Despite the fact that he is repentant and longing for a second chance. His crimes require that he forfeit his life. So he will never get that second chance. No matter how sincere he is. Unless he is pardoned. Church, that man is us. See, that's where we were before Jesus saved us. And there came a point in time in our life where we wanted something better. God removed the spiritual blindness. And I saw my bad condition. And I realized that I was a sinner and I desperately wanted a second chance at life. I wanted an opportunity to do better. I wanted to know that at the end of my life, I would have eternal life, that I would not be punished for the things that I have done. But my sorry was not enough because there's a record of everything that I did wrong, and my sin must be dealt with. I deserve punishment, and my sin requires that I forfeit my life. In other words, even though I wanted a new start, a second chance, Lord, even though I wanted a new opportunity, I was not entitled. I was not entitled to a fresh start and not entitled to eternal life. So here I was in a helpless situation. How could I find another opportunity? After all the damage that I have caused to myself and others, how could I start over again? And how can I be assured that no matter what I did in the past, it would be forgotten, that I would have eternal life? The only hope that we had, church, is to be freed from our guilt. The only hope we had was to be pardoned. And that release, that pardon, came through Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read one verse of scripture. Verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Church, we were freed from our guilt because Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation is very powerful. And this verse is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. It gives a view of God in all of his totality. It shows God's character. It shows God's wisdom. It shows God's power. What this verse of scripture is saying is this: in this is love. In this is God's kindness, his affection, and his goodwill towards man. Not that we did any acts of love toward God at any time in our life, yesterday, today, ever. In this is God's kindness and affection, his goodwill towards us. Not that we did any act of love or kindness toward him, but that he showed his love to us by sending forth his son. And he sent his son forth to be the propitiation for our sin. What does that word propitiation mean? It simply means the appeasing of God's wrath against sinners. Propitiation simply means the appeasing of God's wrath against sinners. So here in one verse of scripture, you see God's love and you see his wrath. You see a love that knows no limits, but you see a wrath that must be satisfied. You see a love that cannot be lessened, but an anger that cannot be ignored. Both of those things have to be satisfied. See, God's love said, I want to have the relationship with you that I originally intended. See, that relationship was the relationship we had with him when he created man and put him in the garden. That relationship that said, I created you in my image and in my likeness. I made you unique above all of my creation. Even the angels are not made like you. I placed you in a garden. It is a relationship where I intended to shower my blessings upon you and to give you everything that you need. It's a relationship where I intended that we have fellowship one with another. That as I walked in the garden in the cool of the day, that I could speak with you and talk with you. And it was a relationship that was to last forever. God's love says, that's what I want for you. I want to restore the relationship that you threw away with your sin. And yet God's holiness says, I must deal with your sin. Because you've hurt yourself, you've hurt others, you've hurt my creation, and sorry is not enough. There's a debt that you owe me. So to fulfill his love and satisfy his wrath, verse 10 says that God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word sent is a strong word. That word sent means to send on a mission. It means to commission. It means to order to go. It means to send on a mission, to commission, or to order to go. The Father sent Jesus on a specific mission. His mission was to be the propitiation for our sins, the means of appeasing God's wrath. How did Jesus appease God's wrath? He stood in our place. Remember, we have learned that Jesus, the Son of Man, is our representative man. And as our representative man, we know that Jesus represented us in every way and that he could relate to our weaknesses, our suffering, our sorrows. But as our representative man, he also represented us in judgment. See, church, we were without hope. The evidence was in, our guilt was well established. Our judgment date was set. We had forfeited our life through sin, and sorry was not enough. We didn't deserve a second chance. Justice demanded that we pay the penalty for the damage that we caused. But then Jesus stepped in. Amen. Remember what we learned in our last series. He said, behold, here I am, O God, coming to do your will. Jesus became the humble, obedient servant of God. And when he did that, the Father was pleased. So we see here in 1 John 4 that God in turn says, go. You are willing to be my humble, obedient servant, so I'm commissioning you to go. Go and deal with my rebellious creation. Go and deal with the people that I love. And Jesus took on human flesh. He became our representative man. And he willingly went to the cross. Remember what we've learned this year. There for 6 hours on the cross, he suffered. The first 3 hours at the hands of man, but the last 3 hours at the hand of God. We learn that from noon until 3, a supernatural darkness covered the land. And that darkness represented the judgment of God. Jesus hung there on the cross, covered in darkness, and the Father took the judgment seat. And when he took the judgment seat, he poured out his wrath on his beloved son, the just paying the debt of the unjust, the Father and the Son working out this rebel salvation all by themselves, making it possible for me to be loved by God without violating his holiness. Jesus was our propitiation. He that knew no sin.